the whole show powered by Chevron. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Brady Hull. Glad you guys could be with us here today. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Man, Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray. Michael, let's just get right to it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com. The Nuggets win last night. Defensively was better. You know, you take guys out in the fourth, and then you give up a lot. So sometimes the scores don't always mean everything. But that's not the story. The good is Jamal freaking Murray on a sprained ankle. 19 of 25. 10 of 11. 10 of 11 from the three-point line, Mike. He couldn't miss. 52 points for Jamal Murray. There have been two games in the last 30 years with 50-plus points on a 75-plus field goal percentage and one turnover or less. I know. Crazy stat. Thanks to Katie Wingy for putting that out from Altitude TV. In those games, Jamal Murray has both. February 19th, 2021 at Cleveland and last night. Dude, Jamal Murray, I'm going to spend some time talking about Jamal Murray today. We're going to get into that, but that's the good. The bad, we're going to get more into the college football playoffs. The more I think about this, why in the hell is Notre Dame ranked above Miami? It makes zero sense. So we will be discussing that today, Michael. I hope you're ready because college football is just getting out of control. I think it's fair to say. Even the coaches are talking about how college football is getting out of control. But Michael, Miami beat Notre Dame. How does this compute in your brain? Miami, and when you're looking at the rankings, it makes zero sense. Now Notre Dame is 10-2. Miami is 10-2. Head to head, Miami beat them. Is this not like a fix here? I mean, we talk about sports being fixed. There's no explanation for it. You can tell me all day until you're blue in the face that, well, it's the strength of schedule. They literally beat Notre Dame, and they have the same record. That's it. That's all I need to know. And Notre Dame is 10th. Miami is 12th. It is silly to me. The ugly is, what in the hell is the $20.5 million threshold anyway? Because teams are able to go well over that because they have promised NIL money. So they have the money, like LSU and Ole Miss. It's unlimited money. And they can say, yeah, neat, we're doing the rev share for the 20.5, but we also have like an unlimited amount of NIL that we can use too. So this is a pretend salary cap. It's not a real thing. So for CSU and probably CU and so a lot of those schools, a lot of schools, folks, even good schools, like Ole Miss too, maybe. They're told they get, 20.5. Okay, we're on an even playing field. No, because NIL is not illegal. So players can still earn outside, which they're not supposed to use as inducements, but they are. That's ugly to me. I don't know how you do it because you can't tell players they can't go make money off their name, image, and likeness. But there has to be some kind of parameter set here. And I say this until I'm blue in the face. You have no one singular governing body. You have no Roger Goodell. You have no Dana White that can come in and say, yeah, no, that's not going to fly. Yeah, no, we're not having. Explain to me why Notre Dame is better. Explain to me why you're saying it's 20.5-point salary cap, but teams are able to go over that. Because NIL is unlimited. That's why. It's kind of, Michael, honestly, is it kind of getting disgusting? I mean, the amount of money that's thrown out is not going to allow a lot of teams. And I know, again, you're my football elitist, but I'm talking about a lot of schools that are even in your elite company. Talking about Washington, too. Do they have the same kind of opportunities that Ohio State and LSU has? No, because they gained popularity and all that. They earned it. But now how do you get ahead? How do you get up there? How do you get to that point? How is Washington going to get $30 million to throw around, Michael? The answer's unless they just get they find big spenders all over the place that want to do it every single year. LSU does have that. Ohio State does have that. Not every school, including some of the Blue Bloods, have that. This is also why you see Notre Dame getting ranked above Miami. It all kind of works together, doesn't it?
I was going over their schedule really quickly. I believe Notre Dame has a better schedule.
But Miami beat them.
They still have a better schedule.
I don't care. Head-to-head should be the first thing we're looking at. If they have the same record, and the next thing I would go to is who won in the game they played. Yeah, it was the first game of the season, but if it didn't matter, why play it? You can tell me the schedule is harder. Okay, but Miami beat them.
Ohio State can be 11-1. South Florida could be 11-1, but play a bunch of cupcakes. If South Florida beats Ohio State in the very first game of the season, they're better than them?
They beat them.
No. Like, Ohio State plays a much better schedule.
But if South Florida beats them, doesn't that tell you what you need to know? I don't care. Oh, that was in August. Then why play in August? If it doesn't mean anything, why even have the game?
Head-to-head. It means something. It means South Florida beat a very, very good Ohio State
and they
team,
proved that.
But
in
Ohio
that game,
State played Michigan, Washington. They played Michigan State. Well, Michigan State sucks, but like they played Indiana. They play like all these great teams in that conference. Always good, Iowa.
I'm going with who, if you have an actual, it doesn't always work out like this, but if you have an actual game where they played each other, I'm going to whoever won that game.
Okay, fine. Let's throw more chaos in there.
It shouldn't be chaos. Miami
let's throw out all the schedules then. Let's throw out the strength of schedule.
Well, then why
did
Miami and Notre Dame play each other if it doesn't mean anything? If it literally means nothing, then why do they play each other?
It means they both had a good game. That was a good loss for Notre Dame. That was a good win for Miami. But Notre Dame had a better schedule.
I'm going to go with matchup first. Because that's the thing. NCAA just gets lost to this. Oh, how does their schedule look? And oh, what was their opponent rankings and stuff? Okay, here's what I care about. The actual game that you played against each other. That's what it should be first and foremost. Let's read a couple texts here. I want to talk about Jamal Murray. Faith texting in. Are they saying Notre Dame strength of schedule is harder overall? Yes, they are. That's what they're saying. But if I'm Miami, Miami's coach did speak on it too. And he's like, yeah, if Notre Dame ends up getting in and we get out, then this is a corrupt system. I tend to agree. What?
I do want to asterisk my thought though.
Okay.
So to complete this whole thing with Notre Dame and Miami, I don't think Notre Dame's strength of
schedule is
good enough to say that they are better than Miami. I'm actually okay with putting Miami ahead of Notre Dame.
There you go.
In this instance, but not in every instance.
I get where you're coming from on that, but if they have the same record and one team beat the other team.
Not in every instance.
In this instance, it should be.
In this instance, because
Miami's
I can understand
in the ACC, they play different. They play difficult opponents too. It's not Boise State in the Mountain West. I understand your argument on if it's Boise State and they just happen to get everything go their way. They played the game of their life, or Ohio State doesn't play the game of their life. They're playing a bad game. Okay, that happens once in a while. But I still think we should give a lot more credence to the one-on-one game. Who's playing? And in this case specifically, I think we both agree, you look at their schedule, Notre Dame beat Pitt. Miami went to Pitt late in the season, cold, beat them. And didn't they smoke them? They beat them 38-7. Notre Dame beat Pitt 37-15.
November 15th.
I'm just saying, man.
They were both basically the same win.
Who has more money?
I'm not sure.
Notre Dame. The TV stuff that they have is unreal. That's why they don't join a conference. They have more money.
They might have more money.
Just saying, bro.
I'm okay with both arguments. I'm okay with them, with Notre Dame being ahead of Miami. I'm okay with Miami being ahead of Notre Dame. I would err on the side of Miami being ahead of Notre Dame because of that.
Yeah.
Because the strength of victory, in my opinion, looking at this, I just don't see it
okay.
being strong enough.
Let me ask you this. Duke is playing in the ACC championship game against Virginia. They are saying that Duke had the better strength of schedule compared to Miami. However, Miami is ranked at number 12. Duke is nowhere to be found. Don't you think we should scrap the strength of schedule? If you have the College Football Playoff Committee and the AP Top 25 both agreeing that Miami is 12, Duke is not in there, if they're tied records and they didn't play each other, shouldn't that go to the highest ranked team? I mean, you're always arguing that these G5 schools shouldn't get in if they're not ranked high enough, higher than the 12s. I guess I'm kind of being hypocritical too, but shouldn't you agree that Miami should be in the ACC championship? Shouldn't you go with the ranked opponent if it's a tie and they didn't play each other? I just hate the strength of schedule sometimes. I get it. I understand it. But in this case, the world of college football is telling you that Miami is way better than Duke. And Duke Miami doesn't have the record to get in. I mean, they have the same record as Miami.
And Miami has the better record. Look, if Miami can go 7-1 in their conference, they go 7-1 and Duke goes 8-0. I don't know exactly what their records are, but Miami could have that one loss against one really good opponent. But maybe Duke played all the weaker teams.
They could both
be good, but Duke gets in because of that one weak loss. Like, it just can happen that way, and I don't like that.
And it's also dumb. Like, we're looking at smaller. We're looking at the Mountain West. New Mexico, they have a three-way tie there, a four-way tie. New Mexico and UNLV have the same record in the conference. New Mexico beat UNLV. New Mexico should be in the Mountain West Championship. Like, they should be. There's no strength of schedule. They're playing the same teams. They're in the same conference. I mean, it's jacked up.
I agree with that when it comes to the conference. But when it comes to the top 25, you got to go with strength of schedule. But with this conference thing is different. And this is why I kind of don't like the conference champion. Like, maybe you didn't win your conference championship, but you're
I'm
number
you.
Five.
Scrap
you should
the
go.
Scrap. Maybe scrap the championship game. I don't know.
Yeah, you should just.
But that doesn't
help
Miami.
The championship game. Yeah, we won our conference. Congratulations, but you shouldn't. This shows that the conference championship is just a bunch of BS.
Well, it is BS because you have a number 12 Miami waiting to see what happens. They can further their. They can't do anything. They have to just wait and see what happens.
And they should be in the championship if you know. There's logic on both sides.
Uh-huh.
The better Miami team overall didn't get in because they didn't have the better conference record. So, yeah, they shouldn't be in the conference championship.
They have the same conference record as Duke. Same conference record. Better overall record. Higher ranked. But they're saying that Duke's because they don't care about the overall record. They just care about the conference record, which is also.
Did Miami beat Duke?
They didn't. I don't think they played each other.
Okay, yeah. See, I can understand Duke going
to the
conference championship. That I can understand.
You can understand Duke getting in over Miami.
If, like, we need to set aside the conference from the playoff.
I'm telling you, man,
set those two aside.
I don't like the strength of schedule as much as you do. I'm going, okay, what's the conference record? Fine. What's head-to-head? Okay, we didn't have that. Hell, then go to overall record. If they're in the same conference, they're typically having the same kind of schedule. This is why it's jacked up, man.
You don't like the strength of schedule? Fine. Let's play four money games and just beat the hell out of the four money teams and then go play your conference. Like, do what Nebraska did in the 90s and early 2000s.
But Miami only
scheduled nobody.
Miami only had one of those. Bethune. They only had one of those. South Florida was not, I mean, maybe that was it wasn't a money game.
Thune-Cookman has a good band.
Was South Florida a money game? They were ranked at the time they played them.
I don't know if that would count as a money game.
I don't think so.
It could be a money game.
But then, so their only cupcake was Bethune. And the rest of it was Notre Dame, South Florida, and Florida. And then it was their rest of their ACC schedule.
Well, they play Florida every year.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, like, It's all jacked up. Big Hub said, did you hear John Gruden's point of view on the CFP playoffs? I didn't, I don't think. He basically said all teams not in their championship, but in the playoff race, should face each other to earn a spot instead of sitting around on a bye. So elaborate on that, Big Hub. Like, the bye teams too, or like Miami should get a chance to play in. I wouldn't hate the idea of, hey, it's conference championship weekend. And all those, is he basically saying all the teams that are not playing in the conference championship but are going to go to the playoffs should play each other? They're in the top 12, so they should play each other in some kind of fashion? Maybe. So, like, should Miami play Notre Dame for a shot to get in?
Better than sitting on your hands and...
Why not have them play each other this weekend, then? That's what I'd like to see. You know what? Instead of bitching and moaning about who should be in, take it to the field. Why does BYU have to play? Why does Texas Tech have to? Texas Tech is the top four, but they have to play this weekend. They got to play an extra game. So why not say, fine, those teams that aren't in, but they're right on the cusp, should play each other. We set up a little mini playoff this weekend for the teams like right on the edge. So I don't know. That would be fascinating to me. I think I would sign off on that.
I think that's something worth thinking about. Why sit on your hands?
But why? Why is John Gruden saying it?
Because he doesn't have a job.
No, but I'm not knocking John Gruden for saying it.
I mean, John Gruden has a lot of good points. He has If you watch the stuff that he says, he's got a lot of good points.
No, you're misunderstanding me. The point is not that why is John Gruden speaking on this. It's a good thing that he's speaking on this. Why isn't Charlie Baker speaking on this? The president of the NCAA. Why don't we hear his thoughts on podcasts all the time?
He's an absentee president.
If you're going to be the president of the NCAA, sit down and talk about it. Give us something to discuss here. But instead, we got to hear Gruden talk about it. We got to hear Texas Tech's head coach talk about it. We got to hear a bunch of different head coaches talk about it. Got to hear people like me talk about it. Why isn't Charlie Baker talking about it? Hell, I don't love Adam Silver and what he's done to the NBA, but at least he talks about it. He was talking about it last night during the Nuggets-Pacers game. At least he's vocal. At least he's explaining reasoning as to why he's doing something. Charlie Baker, when is he on a podcast? Hell, the Ole Miss athletic director couldn't shut up yesterday talking about Lane Kiffin, which I'm grateful for. He was very well-spoken and very good. That's the kind of openness we need. If we're going to do all this and we're going to say that Notre Dame and Miami, oh, strength of schedule, all that, but wait, what? Miami beat them. And then what about the Mountain West? And what about this? What about that? Why are these allowed to happen? Because he's just a figurehead. He's just there. Big Hub said, he said Tulane should play Ole Miss again. I think it's unfair because they play in a championship. Yeah, no. Tulane shouldn't play anybody else. They should play in their championship game. I think the teams that are in the playoff right now but aren't playing for a conference championship game, there might be something said. You have a play-in kind of thing. There I am. I'm going with it. Adam Silver with an NBA thing. Do you have some kind of mini play-in? And you take the teams that are right on the cusp, and you have them play a game. I don't know how that would look. Like, it's pretty clear that BYU and Miami might miss out. Do you dare take, I don't know, the final three, final four there? But like Alabama's playing, you know, they're playing this weekend, right? So that would be tough to say. How do you figure out who's playing each other in this like mini play-in idea, which I'm not saying is a bad idea. But Alabama's on the cusp too, but they play Georgia. So they have a chance by beating Georgia of really getting in. They're probably going to get in. But if they get smoked, does that change things? I just think Miami's getting screwed. I think potentially BYU is getting screwed. I know we a lot of people believe with the G5 teams that a bunch of teams are getting two teams at least are getting screwed by allowing a G5 team that's not ranked in the top 12 to get in. But here we go. I digress. We just got into this. I do want to talk about Jamal Murray But let's get to this first. Faith says, is the NCAA president termed, or is he just in till he quits or gets fired? And who is over him to fire? I don't think he's termed, right? I don't think the NCAA president is termed.
I think he just sits there eating shrimp and crabs and enjoying his champagne and not doing anything.
Well, I mean, it sure seems like it. I mean, listen, I know that these guys do a lot more than we say here, but when you miss the big stuff, like I said, man, I don't agree with Adam Silver decisions in the NBA. At least he's making them. At least he's trying something to spark interest or to tighten things or to make things make more sense. At least he's trying. He's failing, but he's trying. I would love to hear from Charlie Baker talk about this. And no, the answer is no. There's no set term length for the NCAA president. It's filled by a president selected by the NCAA Board of Governors. The current president, Charlie Baker, took office on March 1st, 2023. And he is committed to staying in his role, though we have no idea how long he'll be doing it.
He's committed to staying in his role until the paycheck runs out.
I will stay here. Okay, how do we fix this mess in college football playoffs?
I will stay here.
The Mountain West and the Pac-12 going off into the woods and making their own little scheduling contract and suing the crap off of each, suing the pants off of each other. How do we fix that?
I will stay here.
In NIL dollars, you say there's a threshold of $20.5 million a year per team they can opt in, and it's a shareholding threshold. But what about those teams that have another $20 million in the bag? Ohio State already had $20-plus million in the bag before this threshold started, and now they go, ooh, now we can actually use funds inside the school plus our NIL bag. Neat. We got 40 now. Jacked up, man. 28 minutes after the hour. Let's get to this question, and then I'll answer it on the other side. Eastside Chris. Brady, I know it's a while off, but with the proposed all-star selections, does Jamal Murray have a better chance at being picked? I don't think he could still make it with older conventional format. Yeah, because they're going to do the American team, and then they're going to do the what you would call it, the world, America versus world. I don't even know how the hell that. I think there's three teams, but Jamal Murray has a good chance. Won't be a starting point guard because that will go to Shea. They're both from Canada, but Jamal would have a decent chance of getting in to the All-Star game. And let's talk about Jamal Murray coming up next. 28 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Talk. Listen to Coach speak weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Has Jamal Murray done enough to even get this conversation started to being an all-star? Stop shaking your head. What is he averaging? What's his point average, Michael? Before you, yes, I'm going to call you out if you distract me by just shaking your head like a little puppy dog back there. What's he averaging per night, Mike?
23.
24.7. You were way off. Couldn't be further off. That's a big difference, actually.
23 and 24.7?
Mm-mm.
I was going to suggest 23.3.
He has never averaged that. This is his highest average. Again, it's an early portion of the season, but his career average in points is 18. Now, the last 4 or 5 years, he's been a 21, 20, 21 kind of guy, but there's no question that this early start from Jamal Murray has been one of the best. This has been the best start of his career. I truly believe that. I mean, again, small sample size. We're at 20 games now. Did it on a sprained ankle last night. But the NBA format, that was the question earlier from Eastside Chris. What does the NBA format, will that allow Jamal to actually get in? I mean, there's a lot of good point guards. But the way it goes, I don't understand it. Tournament structure. Three teams will compete. two comprised of U.S. players and one team of international players. The tournament consists of four 12-minute games. Each team will play each other once. The championship will be the two teams with the best record after the round-robin portion will play in the championship. It's so stupid. If the top two teams are tied after the round-robin, point differential between their games will be used as the tiebreaker. What are we doing? But yes, the international team, I would say, gives him a good shot. And he would be playing alongside Nikola Jokic, too. So, does he have a shot to make it? Absolutely. Even if this were the old structure, it'd be worth talking about, at least at this point. But I don't know. This is why I talk about Adam Silver. At least he's trying something. The NBA All-Star Game is a joke, so he's trying to make it better. It's getting worse. The interest in the NBA isn't really great right now because you have college football and you have the NFL rolling. You have college basketball. You have the NHL rolling. It's very difficult for the NBA to grab as many eyeballs as they grab once we get past March Madness. So Adam Silver's trying to spark some interest early in the season by doing this cup. Don't like the idea of the cup at all, but if you're going to do it, this whole like spread out and every, you know, it's random. It's random to fans anyway. A lot of fans will just turn the game on and be like, oh, the court's a different color. Must be a cup game. If you're going to do a tournament, do a freaking tournament. You just start it out. Every single team is in it, and you go for whatever, a week or two, and they just go. You single elimination. You lose once, you're out. That's how I would do it. And then you just figure it out the rest of the way.
It should be around December. Kind of like how they have those games on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the way they should do it.
Yeah. I don't like the idea either way, but this is just silly. And then the NBA game now, it's confusing. So, like, there's two USA teams? Like, why? Because you want to do a round robin. So does the one USA team, is the one USA team the better picks than the second? Or are we mixing and matching where it's like we take a guy, we take a guy, we take a guy, and that's how we do it? I don't know. It's really jacked up. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. The CSU football team signing day was yesterday, and the Rams and the Bears both picked up a very unique prospect at quarterback, and we'll talk about that. Also, on the basketball note, the Bears won again last night. They beat Omaha in the Big Sky Summit League tournament, and they won 8-1. And we'll talk a little bit about that too. But this Bears team is exciting. This is a good basketball team. Also, we have CSU and CU playing each other this weekend in hoops. Kevin Lytle will join me at 1:30 today. And we'll get into all things Colorado State football and basketball, too. Because now football's exciting again. Now it's interesting again. And so we can get into all that. But let's take a break first, Michael. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Renaissance Insurance Group, an amazing sponsor of the show. Big Bears fans over there. Call my guy. Do me a favor. Call Ryan Hicks. If you're thinking of new insurance plans or something new or trying to get something new insured coming up in 2026, talk to Renaissance Insurance. They'll help you out. Had some people call the last couple of weeks asking specifically about what they do on the farming operation side of things. And I say, hey, here's the number. Call them, 970-674-8825, or visit team-rig.com. That's team-rig.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Okay, I heard about this guy. Have yet to ask Coach Lamb about this on the Football 52 podcast, but Caden Reeder, the quarterback out of Thunder Ridge, has committed to the UNC Bears. Thunder Ridge, I believe, lost to Fort Collins in the first round of the 5A state football playoffs. Now, Caden Reeder, from the videos, now his 40-yard dash time is, he says 4.79, in parentheses he puts laser, which I already like that kind of personality. But all the videos I'm watching of him and the clips I'm watching of him, mobile quarterback. Love a mobile quarterback, Michael. And this is what Ed has talked to us about. You know, trying to find a QB kind of maybe in the mix of an Eric Gibson Jr. and a Peter Castelli. He wants a guy that, yeah, has a good arm, can make the right reads, but if he needs to, uses his legs. And I think maybe as Castelli dealt with so many injuries over the last few years, that running game kind of fell out of his arsenal. And Eric Gibson Jr. could move a little bit, but not you wouldn't classify him as a mobile quarterback. Now, Gibson Jr. is going through the NCAA right now to figure out if he still has another year of eligibility, because he went to, wasn't it LSU, and they told him they had a spot for him, and he gets there and rolls and all that, and then it didn't work out, and he was kind of on the team but not really on the team, so they're trying to determine if that should actually count as a year of eligibility. So he could very well be back next year, but they are at the mercy of the NCAA, which is no place to be. Apparently LSU is certainly being very helpful to try to make sure that Eric Gibson Jr. has another year left of eligibility, so they're working on that. But Caden Reeder, this is a name I had heard about. I've had some people message me, say, hopefully someone in the area goes after this guy. Leave it to the UNC Bears to go after a local dude. Carter Emanuel. This is another name that I was watching out for. Not sure how I stumbled upon this, but I saw a tweet from him. Must be the algorithms. Saying because he was committed to UConn to go play for Jim Mora. And he put out on his Twitter, plays for a school called Edgewater Football. I don't know where that is, Mike. I don't know a lot about him. I did watch some of his highlights, though. And you know what else? You know what else I like? Well, not what else I like, but what I like? Mobile quarterback. Now, he committed to UConn. He did pull back his commitment and say he's reopening that once the Jim Mora news hit. And now he is committing to Colorado State. I don't know if that means he's playing as soon as next season, but I'm excited about that. Those are the names I'm looking at. There's a lot of names, Mike. It's a crapshoot. It's like the NFL draft. Jim Mora even said it. Recruiting is like the NFL draft. I've always said the draft is a crapshoot. But what I look at first, go for the quarterbacks. Go for the quarterbacks. Let me get a mobile quarterback in here, and away we go. Yes, Michael.
Edgewater High School appears to be in Orlando, Florida.
There you go. Thank you for that. Well done. So we're going to make a longer trip and come on over to Colorado. And that's exciting for me. Looking at quarterback play, man, it starts with the quarterback. I know for the Bears, like, hey, it's on the trenches, offensive line, defensive line, but you got to have that QB. And CSU hasn't had that QB for a while. UNC kind of did. But I'll be fascinated to see the growth of both of those players here in the next few years. I'm excited about that. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I was like dialed in on the recruits on signing day, because I don't know, Mike. I don't know. I don't know if they're good. The highlights you see are good. And that, even with these quarterbacks, but you know, they're doing their due diligence, and if they're picking up quarterbacks, and I'm interested, and this is the name that was interested for me. 48 minutes after the hour, break free from bad internet. It's time to break up with bad internet. And experience Allo Fiber. With Allo, experience service with no contracts, simplified billing, a direct fiber line that goes straight to your house, and 24/7 customer support that won't end. And you having a conversation with a robot. Get real speed, real support, and make the switch to Allo, the people-powered internet service provider. Visit them online at allofiber.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Get at me today. Anything that stood out to you from last night? Nuggets get the big win. Jamal goes off for 50-plus. And college football is a mess. And the Broncos are gearing up for a monster game. It's a monster game against the Raiders, because it's a tie-breaking type of game that could come down, if it does come down to the wire, between them and the New England Patriots. We'll get into it. Don't go anywhere. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Nobody's leaving. Nobody's Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Merry Christmas from all of us at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're all in this together.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Steve Smiley has this Bears basketball team absolutely cooking to start the season. They are now 8-1 after beating Omaha last night 75-70. This guy, Quinn Danker, he is an amazing basketball player. Like, he just seems to be getting better as he goes along. He's a transfer, a Big Sky. He was in the Big Sky. He played for Idaho. While he was with Idaho, he averaged 12 points per game, 3 assists per game, 3 rebounds. Last year, coming off the bench, so he transferred over to UNC to be a bench, knowing he was going to be a bench player behind Jaron Rille. He can play a lot of different sports or positions. He averaged 7 points per game, almost 2 assists per game, 2 boards. This year, 18.7 points per game, 3.7 rebounds per game, 6.7 assists per game, and he was at it again last night. He had 22 points for the Bears and 8 assists to go along with 3 boards and 3 steals. This guy's the real deal. I'll have to get him back on the show sometime. But the Bears now set their sights on South Dakota this Saturday. I'm going to give some tickets away. Gave some yesterday away, and I've got some more that I'm going to throw out there this weekend for you. But you want to go see some really entertaining basketball. Go out and watch a local matchup or a local team in the UNC Bears. They are red hot right now. And they're getting set, like the rest of their non-conference schedule. We're getting down to it, man. They've got South Dakota this weekend. Then they go to Texas Tech. I think they get the week off next week. And then they go to Texas Tech on December 16th. Boy, that will be an interesting kind of measuring stick to see where they are. Then they host DU, and then they're at Colorado. They got a chance to play the Buffs again on December 28th. So 4 more non-conference games left, and they are absolutely cooking. I don't know how he does it every year, man. Every single year. Obviously, your studs, like Quinn Danker we talked about, Brock Wisney and Zach Block. Like, those are the guys. But now you're getting this Ibu Yamazaki. Go check him out. 16 points, 6 rebounds for him last night. I think he's only getting better. He played because he's from Japan, so he played on their national team over the summer. So he kind of joined the Bears late while they were on their foreign trip before the season started. He kind of joined them in the midst of that. So imagine what it's going to look like by the time the Bears roll into conference play. That's a name to watch out for. But UNC's good. Is this going to be the year that Smiley gets them over the hump and they win the Big Sky Conference tournament? I guess we'll find out. But so far, so good for this UNC Bears basketball team. 11:57 the time. Short break coming up. We got top stories of the day. And later on, I'll have Kevin Lytle join me from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. What does he think about the signees and Jim Mora and the basketball game? Big basketball game this weekend between the Rams and the Buffs. Top stories coming up next.